everyone. Welcome to Triple T Thursday. I'm your host, Shelly, also known as Shelly Saves the Day. And today we're going to be talking about, do you need to have a niche on YouTube? This has been something that has been brought up time and time again, not only when I have coaching clients, not only when I take YouTube questions, but just in general. And I really want to chat about this because there is a time when a lot of us go too far down this road, myself included, where all of a sudden we believe that a niche is going to be dependent on a topic. And I'm here to have a discussion with you to kind of twist that on its head, because a lot of people then will feel very trapped inside of a niche and not realize that what they are feeling is because of them thinking of niche in an incorrect way. So that's what we're going to chat about today. If you have comments, questions, concerns about any of that, I encourage you to share them with the good of the group. I also want to say hello to anybody that's out there. Pixel Pia, hello. How are you? Good to see you. And we will ask that important question, what's in your cup? And you know what? I just left my cup downstairs. I just realized. So tell me if you guys and gals are a fan of the Coke with the real cane sugar, you know, that sometimes they refer to as like the Mexican Coke, where you get all the good cane sugar and it's not the fructose corn syrup that we do here in America so well. So I had that. I was drinking that and I brought the bottle with me, but then I have misplaced it. And it's like that big, tall glass bottle, you know? Oh, it's so good, right? So, oh, Renee Ritchie's in the house. Hello. Happy one-year anniversary to you for being the YouTube creator liaison. We're proud of Renee over here, always and forever. So happy for you. Of course, Pixel Pia has a cold brew coffee, and if Adam's exploits were here, it would be Poland Springs water, right? So it's good to see all of you here. If you see me wiggle around in my chair a little bit more than usual, I have apparently aggravated this herniated disc situation, and I'm now in physical therapy where I have to go several times a week, and they're hoping to have it calm down a little. But the things that aggravate it the most are sitting, standing, and walking, which is difficult to avoid. So if you see me just kind of like doing one of these, I took a Zoom call earlier in the week where I was laying down on the ground because that's one of the positions that doesn't hurt. And I had like moved the microphone down. So yeah, they were like, are you still here? Your camera's off. And I'm like, I'm here. I'm just laying on the ground. Because yes, it's acting up. And I'm a little sad because tomorrow I'm actually going to be missing because I can barely. So the dogs, I'm walking them in the morning, story time. And usually we go around the neighborhood in a big loop and then we go to this grassy park area. And halfway through the loop in the neighborhood, I was already like bent over being like, okay, mommy needs a break because it hurts. It hurts to walk. And so they were not happy with that because they have their mornings meticulously timed for, you know, their morning business. And so they were not pleased with me. They were none too pleased with me this morning. So, yeah. All right. So we also have Can Can in the house. I'm trying a Mountain Dew Baja Caribbean Splash. That sounds delicious. I like the slushy one that they have at Taco Bell. Yeah, that one's delicious. So Pixel Piece says, I should stream in bed. I know. What a horrible stream, though. I would have to hold the like phone up here, and then I'm like, but I'm laying on my back. But it is Thursday at 5:30, and so I wanted to be here and show up, even if it's a short stream. So let's get to what I wanted to talk about today. And that is, do you have to have a niche on YouTube? So the way that a lot of the time ago, and still some people today think about this, is that they believe that a niche is one topic. So for me, it's, I can only make videos about iMovie. And so it became, if I made a video about anything other than iMovie, it wasn't going to do well because the algorithm believed that, yes, I was an iMovie expert, but if I wanted to talk about something else the other day, all of a sudden this 3D printer or something, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, that's different. Now, if we replace the word algorithm with audience, this would start to make some sense because is there perhaps some overlap of people who might be interested in 3D printing that are also interested in iMovie? Perhaps, but not really. So if a lot of people who are here for the iMovie thing and then see a 3D printer thing, this is not working. Let me try the other side. Because there's also like when I twist a certain direction, it hurts more than the other. So I'm trying to figure out what position that is. So it would make sense then that if the people who were not interested in one versus the other and they didn't watch, then YouTube would make sense to maybe not recommend another because they're now unsure if they're going to sit and watch my next release because who knows what it might be on, right? Now, that has deterred some people when you think about it. Poland Springs, water, rewind it back, rewind it back. I said if Adam were here, and here you are, that you would have Poland Springs water in your cup. So props to Shelley for that. And also, if you missed it, I'm moving around because I hurt my back. So I'm trying to be as comfortable as possible, which is not really happening for me. So if we think about that, and again, like we said, we replace algorithm with audience, it would make sense that an audience is probably not going to enjoy something that is so completely off base of what maybe they were coming to the channel or come to expect from the channel. Okay, can we get a that makes sense so far or a thumbs up or something like that? Now, where people have mistakenly boxed themselves into a specific category in the past was thinking that they could never make any content outside of the thing that maybe they got particularly known for or had a lot of results for or etc. And so then they make as many as they can because a lot of the time we're told double down on that type of content that's actually getting you views, which is almost, you know, building your castle a little bit higher for you to like your castle walls a little bit higher for you to have a harder time to scale over later because you're just keepingly telling your audience slash, you know, YouTube and the machines that this is what your channel does, right? So when you try to jump out later, it can become a little bit harder and more daunting, right? Because you feel trapped by the content that you've made and that you are now in some ways a prisoner of your own success if you have been successful. So I have given this advice in the past as well, where it's like sometimes if you have something that you want to talk about it, but then slowly as you are then getting gradually bigger, bring in things that make sense tangentially for the same audience. Now here is where I'm going to say where some people give advice to go very hard into a niche in the beginning. They'll say the niches have all the riches, and that can be true. Okay, if you are the world's best expert in hydroponic farming, and that's the only type of thing that you make videos about, or electric vehicles, or whatever, choose subject, and you want to do that, and it's something you're crazy, stupid, excited about, and you don't mind making that same video 100, 1,000, or 10,000 times, then you can do that, and you can become the expert in that, and you can get very good at getting brand deals that are very specific to that type of thing, if that doesn't drive you crazy. But another way to think about it is it's okay to cover multiple topics as long as the ideal person who's watching that content is going to also be interested in it. So what do I mean about that? So you could be a person who talks a little bit about digital planning, but it doesn't mean that you can never make videos about other things that don't contain digital planning because someone, if you think about your audience at the very beginning, and this is an exercise now that I do with my clients if you work with me for YouTube strategy, it's like, who's watching? And it's not just the demographic, right? We've talked about this a lot. We've talked about, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and Prince Charles, both 60-year-old, or 70 now, British, you know, wealthy, married twice, but they are not the same, okay? But if you look strictly at demographics, you're going to say these are the same people on paper. But we know that the psychographics of those two individuals completely different, right? So if you are into the mindset of I'm going after Ozzy Osbourne as an ideal viewer, this is the type of thing that he wants to watch. These are the things that are, you know, are interesting to him. These are the things that get me excited and have that overlap. There are a few things that maybe you could talk about, right? Now I can talk about music. I can talk a little bit about fashion. I can talk a little bit about travel. Why? Because he does all of those things too, right? So I'm not saying that you can never have multiple things on one channel. I'm saying you need to be strategic about the way that the content is relating back to your ideal viewer. Can I get a, this makes sense in the chat? Let me come over here to the chat and I'm gonna move over here. So back pain stinks. Yeah, it does. You have sciatica. Ugh, thank you for not going into the details. No, they're saying like physical therapy, and if it doesn't get a lot better-ish, then like we don't want to have to go down the surgery route. But all right, YouTube will test any video, but if that video appeals to the people who've watched your last video, it's much easier to make matches and help YouTube help you. Yeah. Oh, I missed one. Bryan Cranston can be in Malcolm in the Middle and in Breaking Bad, but if they were one show, the audience would be confused. Channels are more like shows. Start a new channel for a new audience. Yeah, exactly. And I know we've talked about that too for should I start a new channel for shorts? And a lot of the time I still have the same opinion. Like if it's the same audience, you know, that can enjoy shorts, then I would stick with the same channel. If it's a completely new subject matter, then I would, with a new audience direction, then I would create a new channel for those shorts specifically. That's my opinion on that. So let's see here. Makes sense. And then 84 degrees at 840. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's 80 something, I think, here too. Okay. Pixel Piece says, my problem is that I am teaching for beginners no matter what topic, so my audience constantly changes, they learn, and they move on. That is very true, and that's actually something that has been true for me as well. So here's the thing with something like that. If your target is always beginners, then yeah, you're going to have people that graduate and then become intermediate, right? The novice goes to intermediate and then becomes an expert and then maybe a teacher, you know, you never know. And it's hard if when you go for the widest possible net, which is the beginners, which is why I think so much of what you see on YouTube is about beginners and says beginners in the titles because it's catching a very wide net. But there's also very specifically, you know, help needed for people who are at the intermediate. They're tired of all the stuff that's beginner, and there's stuff that is needed for people who are kind of more experts, right? Which is why people start to get into masterminds and they don't want just beginners in there. They want, you know, to be around creators of the same size and they want a more elevated experience. So it is hard when you're one person who can't probably cater to all three of those unless you have different ways of speaking to them. So one thing I would give as an example is y'all know I've worked with some people where they have like a trades business, but they also are trying to teach other tradespeople how to use YouTube to leverage to get their phone to ring. But they're also then trying to teach some of the people to do some of the stuff at home so they don't have to hire a professional, or they know what to talk to a professional about when they come in or when they need to call in a professional, right? So these are very all different audiences. And so sometimes there's going to be this thing where you're going to have to look at the mix of videos that are coming out in a month. Is it, you know, if you've identified your people, you know, it's Barry the businessman and it's, you know, me the beginning apprentice and then it's me Susie homemaker, something like that. Then sometimes content is meant for specific people. And when you go too broadly across trying to reach too many audiences, right, that's when all of the other people get disinterested in the content that you're making. And so it's going to be a balance of, are the people who are watching now the people that I want to watch my videos? Do I want to make more of the types of videos for the type of person that I want to pursue to watch my channel? And then there's also this boundary of what kind of videos can I make that are going to be the ones that are most profitable? That's either getting my business telephone to ring, getting someone to my website, or, you know, signing up for some sort of service. It kind of depends. And so it will come back to, how do you define success? Who is your ideal viewer? What kind of content are you making? What kind of buckets are you actually going to be covering? Is this, you know, educational in nature? Is this like just entertainment based? It becomes a lot of these different things, but the question still comes back to, who is your audience, not what is the content? And I guess that's the biggest way, is that a lot of people haven't quite figured it out. And it is one of the hardest things is, I think when you get really locked in on, who am I making videos for? What do they need to see? Because I need to create it. And how do I define success? And it's hard for a lot of us who have so many different ideas and ways and directions, and the people who have a lot of ideation. So in the top five of the test, you know, your strategies and stuff, I used to score very high on ideation. I would just always love to come up with ideas. I think you all know that. I'm not good at always completing them without getting distracted by a new idea or just asking a million questions. That is the TPM in me, or technical program manager in me, where it's like, you can't just ask me for a solution. I have to ask you 50 additional questions to get to the right solution that I can recommend for you. And that has always come from my analytical side of being a TPM, or just being very inquisitive by nature, because I don't want to mess it up, because I could give you an answer, but if I find out five questions later that it's not the type of content you want to make, it's not what makes you happy, or it's not what brings you business, then I don't want to have to go back and be like, okay, scratch that. This is your new solution. Like, I want to think of all of the different possibilities ahead of time. So let me come over here real quick and see what you all are saying. I just don't like the way I sound talking and I mumble. Well, is that referring to something specifically? I can't quite remember. You know, here's the thing too. I don't mean to bust anyone's bubble. I really don't. There's only two ways through this. One, you love yourself through it. I guess there's three ways. You just learn to get over it and you just do it. You just keep pushing on. Two, you outsource it to an editor so you don't have to listen to yourself at double speed or triple speed or whatever it is and sound like a chipmunk. You just make it someone else's problem. Or you find a different way to express yourself. And I don't mean get off YouTube. I mean find a different way to express yourself. That could be a voice AI thing. It could be you creating like blog posts. It could be, there's so many different ways to go about it. But yeah, that wasn't the question though. Sorry. Niche, I don't even know how to say it correctly. I mean, if you want to be, well, probably French-Canadian about it, then I think that would be sacrilegious to say niche. I think niche is one of those things where, like, maybe if you're more in the South and you refuse to say it all Frenchy, because it is niche. As far as I am concerned, I would say niche, but I'm certainly not going to tell you it's bad if you want to say niche. Is it me or does an AI voice annoy you folks also? More and more videos using it. You know, I think because of the use of the AI voice, and I blame it on TikTok, a lot of people are now getting used to it, the built-in voices that are in TikTok. And that is another way to go. You could type out what you want to say and then just have an AI voice, or not even your AI voice, but just a generic AI voice say it for you. And then lay on some visuals. You know, they even have a new software out there that is a person, like a generic person that with their voice, after you type it up, they can present it. So they're like virtual, and they're not real people. They're just these characters, and you can do that and have them do it. You could do it with, present it with a doodly or a toonly, which is like cartoonized version. You could do it with basically your Memoji and record that with your phone and do it in chunks and have your animated little Memoji bopping around with the mouth moving. I mean, and then do that with an animated voice. You can do that too. But I think that with the rise of TikTok and the way that that is, a lot of people are like almost used to it. But for maybe some of the, I don't want to say older generation, but I think for some people it harkens back to like that like radio operator or like phone operator, like this number is not in service. And so you start to like, you reminisce about all the times you feel angry about all the automated operators that you've come across. And so I think there's almost a visceral reaction that happens for people that are older that are just so tired of AI voices. I think the younger generation is not as affected as much. But so I have recently decided to narrow my topic and focus on Google application. I did see that. I am now doing a first round of the very basics of the biggest apps and then go on to more advanced. You know who I think that you should also take a look at? Two different people. Steve Dotto. He does a lot of education for elder people, and I like the way that he presents. I like his style, and I think he's great. And the other person is Dusty Porter. Dusty Porter has built a variety help channel on tiny little tutorials, like how to activate a Discord profile, or how to delete your Facebook account, how to, like, very short, very easy, like, tutorials about that. And he has an entire channel based on that. He's done very well, and he's very good at breaking things down simply. I think you're kind of on the track of being kind of similar in presentation than both of those. So I've added my podcast, which I might move onto its own channel. And then Can says, I'm listening and working at the same time. So I was just thinking if I find a niche that that would stop me. Oh, girl. I'm assuming. Sorry. Don't let anything stop you if what you want to do is make videos. Okay. So, because the biggest critic you're going to usually come across is going to be yourself first of all. And you just got to do it anyway. Like, I pronounce Jif like the peanut butter. Most don't. I do too. Don't worry. Michael B says, I'm so happy with the niche hobbies, like recording soundscapes and turning them into songs with those sounds sprinkled into them. That's awesome. And that's great that you enjoy what you make and when you put it out there. And I'm sure people enjoy watching it too. So that's great. Or the people that enjoy it. Does that make sense? The people who are looking for that and want it. Yeah, they enjoy it. So, Pixel Pia says, Adam, I agree with you, and I read that peanut butter was the origin of the name, so you and I are correct. Oh, the three of us are correct, yeah. I was going to say I'm old, I rarely watch TikTok. And then he says, he doesn't upload anymore 11 months since last time. So I think a lot of that is because he now does a lot with, like, I think Patreon and, like, private groups and such, because I think he does a lot with memberships. And so I think a lot of his followers now do a lot with that, and I think that's where he spends a lot of his time. So Dusty, D-U-S-T-Y Porter, P-O-R-T-E-R, Dusty Porter. So yeah, when it comes to the whole niche thing, again, I think we just really need to help people dispel the myth that it has to be topic niche related versus audience niche related. Hopefully that makes sense. I am trying my very best to make sense while I'm in pain. Can I get a that makes sense though, if it makes sense? Because I don't want people as frustrated as I was when I was in the height of, 30 YouTube videos deep, let's say, on iMovie, and then being like, do I really have to make another iMovie tutorial? Do I really have to do another thing about this? And that's, you don't want to feel trapped by your own content. But here is one thing I will say. Like, I could probably go back and make an additional 50 videos on iMovie. And the reason that I say that is because once you're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 years into whatever it is that you're doing, you forget all of the things that the beginners have questions on. Because you just assume it was known. And so I've come across this actually from a podcast episode that I just recorded with Dane today. We had a guest on there and we were talking about how sometimes we forget to meet people where they're at and we expect them to be at the level maybe we're at. And we think, hey, you already know about iMovie editing. I'm just showing you how to put this extra belt and whistle on, right? And we forget sometimes that haven't opened up the application. They've never, when I say put this on your timeline, it's a given that you know how to take your mouse and drag the clip down. And this happened to me last week when I did a meeting with one of my coaching clients. I said, okay, let's open up iMovie. And I was like, here's a quick lesson on how to do some trimming and editing and drag your video down. And it took us 10 minutes to even figure out, it's not doing it. How do I get it down there? And I was like, oh, wow, that is just that simple thing. And the feeling of accomplishment that she got when she finally did it, she was very proud of herself. Like, look, I did it. Like, I moved it to the timeline. And in my mind, I would have already been like 10 steps later, you know, and so now when I think about some of the comments that I got on some of those videos, like, you're taking too much for granted. Like, I'm a beginner. I don't think I put for beginner, I guess, in my title, but maybe I should, as a new series, do that. Go back as a beginner. But I just assumed they knew. Open iMovie, start a project. I didn't remember to tell them that if they start project that they should do movie, not trailer. I forgot to tell them how to import a clip into their library. I didn't tell them, or I assumed they knew how to take that clip and have an in and out point and then put it on their timeline. I didn't tell them that they could do a short cut keyboard command for the blade tool. I didn't tell them that because they're editing on a laptop, let's say, and there is no right-click button because they're not using a mouse, they're using a trackpad. And it really brought back this entire thing, because I also erroneously just thought, hey, I gave you the code, a free coupon for my iMovie course, so you watch that and you're going to be good to go. And then I think our next lesson is going to be like, oh no, I got lost. I need to like do this again. Or I wasn't able to record this video clip. And I was just like, oh, I didn't think about that. And so, yes, it's important to meet people where they are, but it's really easy to forget where you are is not where they are. And so then it's a choice. Do you make videos for yourself, and all of a sudden it's not like for the novice anymore, it's for that intermediate / advanced, and say that in the title? Or do I go down to the lower denominator and say this is for beginners and get more people, right? But they may or may not be the people that I want, because the audience that I want is maybe not just there for video editing. So if we take this back to myself and I say for me and my channel, and you all know that I make as many mistakes as I can on this channel and share it with you so you guys don't have to make all the same mistakes, but It was really tough for a really long time, because if you look at my analytics, you know, it's mainly about iMovie and teaching people how to video edit. But I haven't talked about that in a while. I want to talk about, you know, being a creator. And sometimes it doesn't occur to me that people who are going to create a video in iMovie don't want to put it on YouTube. They want to do it for, like, we had a principal who went through and they wanted to make a little video for their school, for the little kids that were at their, like, their class. It wasn't for YouTube. And so these types of things, like, they didn't come to me. And so it's made me reflect back too on maybe I didn't have a very good enough grasp on who my ideal viewer is and who I'm making content for and why they need to have these variety of subjects, right? I wanted them to talk about how to make a video and then how to put it on YouTube and then how to be better at YouTube. I wanted everyone who came to my channel to want to go through these steps. Let's learn how to edit. Let's learn how to optimize and put it on YouTube and package it in the best way we can. And let's learn how to do YouTube better. But in reality, there may not be a huge overlap of people who wanted to do all of those things. And so that was my mistake. And it's also, it's a lot of people, because you could have an entire channel just on YouTube. You could have, or on like optimization and YouTube tips. You can have an entire channel on just video editing. You can have an entire channel based on one type of editing software, whether that's Premiere, like Premiere Gal, or, you know, having something like Final Cut Pro, you know, who only focuses on Final Cut Pro, and then, you know, having the iMovie. And so I didn't choose that route, you know, and not surprisingly, my channel demographics and psychographics are all kinds of wonky, because let's not forget, I also threw beauty in the mix and I threw a couple of tech reviews in the mix, and I threw everything in the kitchen sink, including the kitchen sink probably, at this channel. And no wonder the audience / algorithm never understood what to do with my channel. And, you know, I'm kind of coming to grips with that. And I'm kind of also, to be honest with you, I don't deserve the audience size that I have currently. I don't. And I mean that, not that I want people to go away, but the truth is, y'all know, remember, it was, what, 3-4 years ago when I did that back to school giveaway and I gained like 25, 30,000 subscribers. And then I spent the next 18 months only losing subscribers, because we did one video, a back to school giveaway with makeup and back to school supplies. And then I went back to just making iMovie tutorials. And obviously, like, attracted the wrong people at the wrong time. And spending that next year and a half trying to put out content, trying to figure out why, like, the algorithm hated me, why I couldn't get anyone to view my videos. Why, like, I did so much damage to myself in doing those things. And I share this with you because it seems so attractive. It seems so easy. And it seems like maybe, yeah, you should do that. It seems like the right thing to do. But I'm telling you, 4 years later, I'm still bearing and the repercussions of everything that came along with it. And so if I were being truthful with myself, I didn't gain 39. Wait, what am I at now? I think I'm at 39, right? No, I'm at 40,283. I didn't gain like truly 40,000 subscribers. I didn't. And I probably lost as many as I've gained now at this point. I feel like my audience size, and if you look at my videos, like my live streams sometimes break 100 views, my regular videos sometimes break 100 views. Honestly, I don't have a lot of people that are returning to watch this channel as a destination channel from that number. It's probably more like 1,000 subscribers, maybe, if I'm being honest with myself. And I think that I would have almost felt better being at 1,000 subscribers and then growing with that number and actually knowing what it is, then just always knowing that every time the next purge comes around or anything like that, it's just going to be, you know, 1,000 less or 500 less or whatever else it is. And so I used to get really sad, and I still do sometimes, depending on the day. I might be crying, I might not be, just not usually in public, about it, because it's messed with my self-esteem for 4 years straight. So if I can give you any kind of life lesson, you know, I would say, like, you don't want to be, one, trapped inside of your own channel, which I was trapped for a long time making just iMovie tutorials and feeling miserable about it. And it's not even that I hate making iMovie tutorials. I love making tutorials. I was just mad and resentful at the fact that I felt like I couldn't make anything else to get people to watch my channel. And the truth is, when you're feeding the audience that and they come to expect that and they want that, then it would make sense that they don't want to watch other things if that's what they come to expect. And so I was doing it to myself, as with most things that are bad in my life, I probably tend to do. But the point of all of this rambling is, I don't want what has happened for my channel to happen for you. I want you to, like, start off on the right foot. And if that means taking some extra time to figure out who you want to talk to, how you want to define success, how you want to speak and show up for your audience, then it's worth taking that little bit of extra time. Then, you know, you never want to accidentally blow up. You want to blow up on purpose, if that makes sense. Because an accidental blow up can leave you also questioning, like, why, what happened? How do I, you know, make the most of this? How do I keep going? Whereas some people who gradually build up over time have a much more solid repertoire of not only videos, but a much more grounded sense of self for themselves. So I wish that for all of you and continued success and growth, because being on the other side of it and growing for the wrong reasons has definitely been a hard life lesson and left me with more imposter syndrome. There were more consequences than a lot of good that ever happened when I decided to take these shortcuts that I really shouldn't have. And if that's anything that you ever want to talk about, I know I've already done like live streams about like mistakes I've made on my YouTube channel. And you know, I'm all about transparency and honesty with y'all. I think you know that. I have shared, I don't hold it back. I share it all with you. I share way too much probably with you. I think just about people would say, yeah, it's too much. It's probably too much. But I don't want anyone to go through the same type of journey that I've had. I don't want people to feel as frustrated in times as I have. And I want better for you all. I don't know how else to say that, okay? I want better for all of you than I've had for myself. Like a proud little parent of a toddler going out there. I don't want you guys to suffer like I have. That's all I can say about that. So I don't know if any of that rambling was helpful for anybody. Okay. Do you guys have any questions, comments, concerns? At the end of the day, think about your audience. Think about what makes you happy and the intersection of the two, and make that and put your head down and just do the work for a little while. And stop looking at other people and comparing, and stop listening to 15 different people tell you 15 different things, because then you feel confused. Just, you know, put your head down, do the work for a bit. So, am I still doing beauty content? You know what? You know, it's funny about that. So I have a beauty channel and it's called Shelly Slays the Day. Real original. And I do some beauty content over there, but it is not successful because I do not consistently put out content over there. Even though I have tons of ideas, I have multiple videos that I need to film, including what we got in the creator swag bag when we went to the Charleston beauty convention trip that I did. And so I have tons of videos, and I ironically was going to film some of them this week until I hurt my back and I've been laid up, and it's really, like, honestly, it slowed me down quite a bit. But the truth is, I would like to make more of that content and put it out there, sure. But it's not any kind of priority for me, and it never will be. And I think when, to be just more honest with y'all, when I went on that trip to Charleston, some of the same conversations creep up, because some girls don't want to just do certain types of content anymore. And they're tired because we're in a world of over-consumerism as it is. And a lot of them don't want to have to keep purchasing and buying and feeding into the hamster wheel of having to showcase what's new, what's next, what you need to spend your money on. And now some of them are getting backlash because they don't want to buy new things. And it's how can we shop our stash and what we have currently, and how do we make the most of what we currently already have? And so it's funny because it's the same old story, but it's in a different industry vertical niche, right? We think, oh, they have it so easy, but they're also feeling stuck and sometimes in their content, and they want to do something. They want to have deeper conversations with their audience, but they can't because of the content jail that they've also built for themselves. So some of them want to do cooking type things, or they want to show vlogs or out in their life, and they feel like they can't do that, which is funny because I've felt the same. But long answer, longer than it needs to be. Yes, occasionally I do beauty stuff, and you can catch it over on Shelly Slays the Day. Yeah, and nothing against any of those girls. The girls are lovely, but I had decided that I wanted to have deeper conversations with other people and other creators, and it didn't necessarily have to do with making beauty content. You know? Because I can show you what the newest lipstick is from Maybelline, but, like, I want to have a conversation with you about why do you do the things that you do, and who are you talking to, and what are the stories? And I feel like there's less heart in some of the content that I see, and that's what I'm feeling is lacking, and that's what I want to see more of sometimes these days, is some stuff that's just more real. I'm just getting tired of all of the polished perfection that I can't achieve. And I don't want to perpetuate that. If you guys have ever thought that anything in my life was perfect, I hope you know that it is not. And, like, I always try and share that and be honest with y'all, because it's not sunshine and roses, like, all the time. And I just feel like I wish that more people talked about the struggles, because all we see is I'm girl bossing so hard, look at me on my trip, or I'm traveling to these places and oh my gosh, it's amazing. And, you know, everywhere you look, it's oh my gosh, now I have, you know, $1 billion in crypto, and it's I made $10,000 overnight, and here's how you do it, a thread, you know. And I just feel like, where are the people that are struggling? I'm like Captain Struggle Bus over here, and I'm just getting real tired of seeing only perfection in my feeds. And that's not me, and that's not my life, and that's not what I'm trying to put out online. Like, I think you guys and gals, like, have known it's a hot mess up in here for a while, but I think that sometimes that's okay. It's okay to show the hot mess, and that we still are trying to figure it out, and that's fine. We don't always have it figured out, and sometimes I think I'm onto something and I want to share it with y'all, and sometimes I think this was really bad and I want to share it with y'all. And basically I'm just an overshare, underachieving person who's rude to others, apparently. I don't know. But I have a big heart and I want to be able to share it with y'all, even though everyone thinks I hate them. have to work on that. But I don't hate anyone. Okay. We do repeat those mistakes anyhow. Doesn't matter how much you share. Talking for myself. And then, so that is what beauty videos you should do. Make great with what you already have. Yeah. And so, like, I mean, just to be honest, I also, like, I stopped getting Ipsy. I stopped getting BoxyCharm, which were the monthly subscription boxes, because the only reason I was getting them after a while was to make a video, and the video would get less than 100 views, and no one was really interested in it, and it was timely. If you missed it, then no one cared about it in the next month, and it just felt really shallow. It felt like easy content to make, but shallow, and I just want to make stuff that maybe sometimes makes you have a conversation, makes you think, makes you have a feeling. And it's really tiring to only ever go online and see perfection. So yeah, subscribe to my channel, because you can come on and see a hot mess who's still trying to survive in this world. I don't know. Here, let me follow. All these places. It's been years, y'all. It's been years since I've made this, and I still can't figure out what side it's on. But if you like watching a hot mess, you should subscribe. You should subscribe. Hey, how are you? You changed your username. How are you? Mac Video Magic. I love that. Aw, it's great to see you, Mr. Kinney. How are you? You know, I should have you on sometime. We still need to have a chat or do a collaboration about all of that. You know what's so funny about that now? Mac Video Magic. Now, I don't know why, but for some reason, all of a sudden, it just gave me like Magic Mike vibes. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why, but it's great to see you. How are you? How are you? We're just having, you know, the usual existential crisis check-in over here. Yeah, great to see you. But if it fits in your agenda, I feel like it would be nice to have a little bit of realness every once in a while out. You're getting your brand straight out on the interwebs, you know? Yeah, that's what I have to say about that. Because I have felt at a loss, or just kind of lost, for a little bit now on this channel too, because even now, I look at my analytics, and the only thing that still gets views now is iMovie tutorials. And y'all know, I ran away from it for a while. I privated those videos. I said, I don't want to be the subscribe button girl anymore. I wanted to, start making my name for creator economy conversations. But you know what? Honestly, they got Colin and Samir for that, and they're doing a fantastic job. I love all of their interviews. I was like, I don't know if I'm contributing in a real and meaningful way to that conversation. Sometimes I don't know. Or I'm like, when it comes to YouTube advice, sometimes I'm like, you know, you got Nick Niman and you've got Daniel Batal and you've got like all of these people. And I don't know if adding another voice to the noise is sometimes worth it, or if like that little stubborn part of me is like, but dang it, there's still not enough women. You can't give up. You have to keep going. But then that's just me being stubborn. So again, it's like, I don't know. I just don't know a lot of the time. And it's like, doesn't really matter sometimes what I put out, because people don't watch it. So it makes me less encouraged to put out more content. And I don't mean that because the people that are in chat aren't watching. I know sometimes y'all watch. That's not what I mean. I just mean in general, it can be difficult to then, just like any creator, you put your heart, soul, time into effort into making something and hoping that other people will like it or take value from it or do something with it, to not have any reaction to it is almost like a gut punch. Like, especially as time goes on and I say like, hey, I help people build YouTube channels, and then they come to my YouTube channel and it's a big hot mess. And I'm like, I know, but I really do know what I'm talking about. And it's just not something I can demonstrate on my own channel. And that doesn't give confidence either. So then I get even more in my head about not making any content at all. Because if I don't make content, then no one can make fun of me for not making content that no one watches. Instead, they just make fun of me for not making content. Do you see what I'm saying? So it is a horrible mess up in here sometimes, right? So that's why I started a second channel where I can be real. And you know, that's why I have like 6 different channels, because before, when I said it can be topic specific, right? So if I want to make something about cooking, I've got something kind of for like food. Or if I want to make something about just me and myself and I and the vlogging type thing, then I've got the Shelly Nathan channel. And if I want to make something about something else, then hopefully I have an outlet to do that. But I also would tell you, it's usually not good as a new beginner to have so many different channels, because instead of splitting your focus across 10 different channels, if you put your effort, 10 times the effort into one channel, it would probably be better. And also, if you're in the beginning and no one is watching, you put 10 different types of content on your channel. Again, you don't even know what's going to like blow up. And so you can take more risks, I think. But like I said, I've messed up my channel so many times that this channel is like a new channel all the time. So, but they don't have your voice and approach. That is true. That is true. Okay, talking about women, I want to talk to you about an invitation. Okay. Your channel's impact is bigger than you think because you have to add in all of the views, subs, and mostly importantly, connections on all the channels. Thank you. It's great to see you. And, how is it going being at Petco and being their official pet content creator specialist? That is like a dream job, man. That sounds so amazing. Where should I send it? DM and Twitter, message you in Discord? Yeah, send it on Discord or Twitter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Tay International says, every voice is different. The YouTube struggle is real. Yeah, it is. And if y'all hadn't seen it, I did take a screenshot of it, but Roberto had posted some stats on how many channels, you know, because we know there's 100 million channels, but how many channels in different categories actually ever get a gold or silver play button or whatnot. And, you know, if you think about out of 100 million channels, the amount of people that get to 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, anything like that, the numbers, you know, they definitely get smaller as you go up. But what we see so much of the time is, you know, the 10% of channels or less than that 5% of channels that get 90% of all the views. We, as the 85-95% that's left, compare ourselves to that and then just always find ourselves lacking and just feel worse about ourselves sometimes. So yeah, I come to Shelly for the real vibe. Aww, thank you. Andrew Coleman Smith says, you have lots of channels that are part of your legacy and may not ever say it. Oh, yeah. You know what though? I had a proud Mama Bear moment. There was a comment on a video and someone said that they finally edited a video and they put it out. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's the whole point, you know, because we don't want people to be held back by saying that they don't know how to edit, which is why they can't share what they love with the world. And so that made me feel good. And in fact, I had a video, I put up a short on my Shelly Nathan channel and on the vertical video tutorial channel. And someone was like, where have you been? Because it's been like 8 months or something probably since I put up anything on that channel. And they were like, oh my God, you were saying go all in on vertical video and now I'm getting paid to go like drink beer and golf or something and hang out with models and it's all because of you. And I was like, no, it's obviously because of you and you made videos. He's like, no, I just have to tell you that. And I was like, I screenshotted that and I put that on Twitter. I'm like, this is the best testimonial ever. I'm like, listen to Shelly, because you too can also be hobnobbing on the golf course with models and, you know, getting things paid for. It was just like, it made me so happy to see that. I thought that was funny. So there are a few channels out there, I will say, that are built into my legacy, including that one. Some guy on some golf course hobnobbing with models because he listened to vertical video tutorials. So my channel is a new channel every couple of months. You know what? I feel the same about mine. So let's definitely chat about creator issues on live stream. Yes, I would love to, because I know you and I had that conversation once before too about, you know, life, YouTube life, creator life, being held into the Mac ecosystem life. I know you have felt that same type of thing. And sometimes I have definitely felt like I should just... Oh yeah? Uh-huh. I don't know if you guys heard that. That was my dog. I was like, I could just come back, go balls to the wall and do 100 videos about iMovie or like Apple products or something like that. And one of the reasons that I had thought about going away from it for a while was because I had talked about this with my husband, but it's like the only money I could ever make on those was if I was going to get some sort of sponsor integration or if someone were to buy my course, because iMovie's free and they're not going to give me a commission for something that you can download from the App Store for free, you know? And then I was like, well, if you teach Final Cut Pro tutorials, they used to have a referral program where you could be like, oh yeah, buy it, download it, and you'd get a referral, but you don't do that anymore. So it's like, unless I teach them and then have them have enough faith in me that they buy my course, maybe. Or there was nothing that I could make in tutorials about iMovie that was going to make me money except for the video itself. Does that make sense? So the only money I would ever make from that is either from a brand sponsored integration or from ads. From AdSense in those videos. And depending, you'd have to get so many views or something like that for it to ever be maybe fruitful, fruitful Apple. And so then it was like, oh, this is one of the reasons why beauty is so easy. I can link a lipstick, let's say, and you could buy it at 15 different places, but that's 15 different places that I could get commission from. You know what I mean? And so it becomes a lot harder sometimes to be like, just make it on a free software. And even though it's helpful, it's the same as like teaching all these Keynote hacks and stuff like that. It was like, even though it's helpful, I can't get any money from Apple for teaching about Keynote. I wasn't going to. Whereas opposed to like, if I switched and I did Adobe ones, I could get paid from, they have an ambassador program. I could get paid from people signing up because they have an affiliate program. I could get paid from sponsors, integrations, all of that stuff. But, and from AdSense, but it was never going to be that way with iMovie. So then I thought, okay, how can I fulfill this love for helping people and maybe still try and make some money? And that was people also asking about, okay, let's have a course. So then I did that and I made a course and I spent, you know, months of my life procrastinating, overthinking, putting that out there, trying to find the best place to host it, only to have like crickets actually ever buy it or be interested in it. And it was a real deflate and ego type of moment because it's like all this time people said that they want this and then no one bought it. And then me like shame spiraling down into, am I a horrible creator? Is it not like they don't see the value? And then someone else was like, oh, why would they need to when they can just literally go watch YouTube videos on a free program? They didn't pay $300 for the software like they did for Final Cut Pro, or they're not paying $50 a month for the Adobe Suite. So they don't feel compelled to have to learn this thing and pay extra money. And I was like, okay, well, that hurts. But you know, what about the benefits of being able to say that it's all packaged together and it's all in a sequential and it's all with the same person? And they're like, apparently that doesn't mean that much unless you have a bigger audience, and you would have a bigger, truer audience, a truer reflection of your impact and income potential if you hadn't done that big giveaway. Okay. If you hadn't done that huge giveaway to gain all of these false subscribers, inflating your ego, letting you think that you had a potential audience of thousands of people who were coming to your channel and wanted more of you in this subject and were willing to pay for it. That's on you. You did that to yourself. And so that was a hard lesson. That was a really hard lesson. And then it became like to this point where like I didn't even sell enough of the course to have it be profitable for me to keep paying Thinkific to keep hosting my class. You know what I'm saying? And it was like $500. And so that would mean I'd have to sell 5 different units of iMovie Made Easy to just pay for the hosting, because I didn't want to have to pay, because I had said at the time lifetime access for the 6 people that bought it. So here I am shelling out $500 a year to Thinkific so that the 6 people who bought it, or it was more than that, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just complaining for a second. Why do I have to pay $500 for the people who may or may not log in for the next however long? And so that's also another reason why I switched to, you get access for a year. And some people didn't like that either, but it was like, I can guarantee that that site's going to be up for a year, but I can't guarantee it's going to be up for life. You know what I mean? Because it's also then at that point with no new people purchasing it, it's a sunk cost that's costing me money every year to keep hosting it on this platform, even though no one is buying it. So it was a really difficult, but a good lesson to learn. I learned many things when I launched that course, which was 1, maybe do a pre-sale. 2, put less effort. And I don't mean less effort. I mean,
I thought I needed to have the most robust and fully thorough thing. And so I made like, what is it, like 7-8 hours? I don't know, 8 hours on iMovie tutorial. And to get you from beginner to not beginner, hopefully. And it was too much, probably. If I had probably done a 3 hour or 2 hour crash course and sold it for $47, let's say, I probably would have sold more units. And I wouldn't have felt as resentful for having spent months on this thing that no one really ended up buying. And so I would definitely do a lot of things different. And a lot of people were like, oh, are you going to do a Final Cut one? And I was like, no, not even a little bit. One, I don't think that I could teach Final Cut one better than some of the other people that are out there that can teach it. So if you want to, I'm more than happy to recommend Tom Buck's course. Hayden Hillier Smith, I think, is now got a new editing course out there. And, you know, I don't think I could do it again. And I mean that in this way of like, it was heartbreaking for me to go through that entire process and actually start to believe for a little bit that I had the audience that was wanting this, asking for this, and was going to buy this. And I don't mean this in any way like I'm mad at my audience. I'm saying that like I was really disappointed in myself and the response that it got. And I really don't have anyone to blame but myself for it, which is why now I'm so cautious about, I don't know if I want to do something again that costs money. I don't know if I want to do this because I don't know if I'm ready for as much disappointment as I felt like I felt when I did that, which is probably why it took me so long to even start talking about content minis, which is why it took me so long to try and talk to people about buying that service, which is why I fear and dread when it comes to about the point in the month where I'm about to send out the invoices or PayPal invoices for content minis. And I'm just hoping and praying that I don't get an email of someone saying, it's not worth it. I don't want to do that and not pay for another month. And I don't want to get to a point as well where then I'm also then like, I don't have enough clients to pay for the editors that I brought in. You know what I'm saying? And so like I constantly live in this state of like flux and fear that I'm letting people down, that I'm letting myself down, that I'm letting the audience down. And at the end of the day, beating myself up for, you don't even work a full-time job anymore. I've said this so many times. I was more productive with my calendar and schedule when I was still working full-time at Amazon, when I still worked full-time at Google. And when I think back and look at myself now, I am so disappointed in myself and the lack of videos that I've put out and then used as an excuse, I didn't have time. Girl, how did you have time to put out all the videos that you did when you were working at those big jobs and you can't find the time now? Like, it's really, I don't know what to tell you guys. I am just constantly disappointed in myself, which is why I'm uber sensitive when people come out and say something that they're also disappointed in me, because I'm like, I know, I get it, I hear you, I feel it. Twist the knife a little bit more. And I don't know how to get out of that. And so honestly, just like I said, I've been fearful. I've been a little bit afraid of making content because I'm trying to say, oh, I'm busy. I've got coaching clients and I've got people that have paid for my course and I need to be checking in with them. I'm not checking in with them enough to warrant me not making videos. I'm not checking in with them enough to not be putting into practice the things that I'm asking them to do. And it's a little bit maddening that I'm almost scared to admit, like, yes, I took money from people to teach them how to do YouTube better when I suck at YouTube so much myself. And it's like this big rapid shame spiral. I don't even know how to convey that to you, that I feel like a failure almost all the time. And then I come back to, I would rather this channel have the 1,000 subscriber number on it, because it would be more in line with the views that I get, the engagement that I get, the comments that I get. It's embarrassing to me to say, yes, I have 40,000 subscribers, but I get 85 viewers on since last week's live stream on my live stream. And I get it, because not a lot of people want to tune in for an hour. But that's my life currently. It's almost like I live in a state of embarrassment to when I think of the imposter syndrome that I have, if I go to some conference and I'm like, yeah, I'm a YouTube educator, and they come look at my channel and they're like, you have 85 views on your last video. And I'm like, yep. Or like, I don't want to come in on a Twitter thread that Roberto's talking about, because I don't want someone to like attack me for saying something that I think or know is to be true. So I shrink myself. I've shrunk myself, trying to protect myself from being like attacked from other people and what they think. And the truth is, I don't even think sometimes now what they say is actually that bad. It's just what I think that they're going to say is that bad. Does that make sense? And so that fear is really something, and especially with me being like in pain and stuff these last couple of weeks, I've just had more time to sit and reflect on this because I literally have nothing else to do besides lay down. That's the only time my back isn't killing me. And just be like, where are these feelings of inadequacy coming from? Why do I always feel like such an imposter? And this is where I encourage you as well to still have that feel-good folder of comments that people have left you, of, you know, accomplishments that you've done. Because when you look at the list, all of a sudden you can be like, oh, wow, I spoke at this conference. I did this thing. I was in Forbes, which if you haven't seen that, I was in Forbes. You know, I started a company. I hired editors. I can pay their paychecks every month. And it's tough because it doesn't matter which room you're in, you always still feel like less than. But that's where I'm at right now, and I'm just sharing that with y'all. But I'm going to come back over here and say, we share the same brain. Do you have it on the odds or even days? Because I don't know. you should start a video podcast. You know what? The truth is, I have one, had one, and I have even a little animation for it. Where is it? But yeah, usually I would rip out the audio and or the video and I would stick it up on Spotify. And I just have been lazy and I haven't done that in the last 6 months or whatever. But technically, yes, I have a video podcast. It is this, which is why the show is Triple T Thursday. But Adam says, give yourself a pat on the back. Your short service is doing very well. And you know what's funny about that is I still think about shutting it down every week. Just finishing out the contracts that we have, and then just saying, hey, we had a good run. And it's been like, it hasn't even been, 6 months? But, you know, I get a little bit of that feeling in the pit of my stomach when, you know, I have to send out the bill and if people don't renew. And I did have someone say that they're not going to renew. And I was just like, okay, no, I understand. And then I would be like, yeah, if I were you, I wouldn't pay me either, which is not a great. But there are other people that are renewing and people that are signing up. But yeah, it's a whole thing. Channel Hub TV says, I enjoy your advice and you are saying the same thing all the other big coaches are saying. I'm saying all the same things all the other coaches are saying. Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing, I think? I think you're saying that in a nice way. So thank you. Thank you for that. You know what's so funny is a lot of people like rag on YouTube educators because they're like, you all say the same thing. It's like, well, a lot of the time it's because the same thing is the right answer. And just like there's one eyeshadow palette that came out from a company, and every single person who bought that palette as a beauty person is going to make a video on it. Some like it, some don't like it. Some have different ways of showing you how it applies. Some want to go into the ingredients of it. Some want to do swatch tests and art. And but the thing is, it all revolves on that same thing. And I kind of liken it to YouTube advice. And so we love different beauty people, or, you know, or relate this to whatever, cars or whatever. We like certain people and the way that they explain said thing. And maybe you like a certain person because they're the same ethnicity, right? Or they have the same eye shape, you know, and coming back to beauty. Because a lot of the time it's really disheartening watching all of these beauty gurus do these cut creases when you don't even have an eyelid that is the same. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I don't need to watch monolid only channels, but maybe acknowledging that maybe some people don't have the same eye shape. I don't know. But we like who we like sometimes in the way that they do it. Like we like someone because they're more flamboyant. We like someone because they're facts only. We like someone because they're very artistic and soft-spoken. And I think it's the same with YouTube advice. And it's the same with fitness. And I give that analogy a lot where sometimes it's, I like Boot Camp J. And sometimes it's, I like the person who's nice and calm and not yelling at me. But at the end of the day, like fitness, you know, it's still like move your body more, do it in ways that you enjoy, do it often, repeat. And I think with YouTube advice, it's kind of like sometimes a lot of the same stuff. You know, it's find out what your audience wants or how you want to communicate with them, decide how you want to show up for them, and then just do it over and iterate. So I think you're on the edge of a breakthrough. You know, that would be nice. I feel like I've been on the edge for, 6 years. Funny story. Funny to me. So when I hit 1,000 subscribers, and this was, I was starting as a beauty channel, beauty slash a little bit of iMovie, because why not? And so I even tried to meld the two. I was like, okay, let me teach beauty creators how to use iMovie. I was still trying to to weave in some beauty stuff. But I was at the Lady Gaga concert, and at the time I had this subscriber, and he doesn't watch my videos anymore. I've never seen his avatar pop up. I don't mean it like that. That was, 5 years ago. And so I saw his avatar because he would comment on all my videos and come to live streams and stuff. And he would be like, I want to be the first to say congrats, you hit 1,000. And I was like, what? And I looked, and it was, I did hit 1,000. Come to find out later, it was also because the girl that I ended up doing a giveaway with, she first gave me a shout out on an Instagram story or Snapchat story. It was a Snapchat story because back then the kids use Snapchat. I don't. They do now again these days, but I don't. And I don't know. I had shown her how to do something that she needed to learn how to do in editing. And then she gave me a little shout out on her Snapchat story. And that's what drove me over 1,000. So it's funny because she's actually been there with me for some of these momentous occasions. And we've been friends for years. And I don't blame her for any of that. I'm not bitter about any of that. That's not, no, nothing with that or her content. But I remember being like, wow. Right before that had happened, I felt like I am on the precipice of figuring out this YouTube thing, because you needed the 1,000 subscribers, 4,000 watch hours, all that stuff. I was like, I feel like I'm just on the edge. And Lady Gaga has a song called On the Edge of Glory. And she was singing it while I got the text message, you just broke 1,000. Okay. And so what's funny about that is I was so ecstatic about that. And I showed it to my husband. And then when we got home that evening from the concert, he presented me this. He had ordered it on Etsy from a little shop to make a fake plaque YouTube button. I think it's like the lid of an Altoids can. And you can see my old profile picture in here in my old setup. This says, congratulations for surpassing 1,000 subscribers. Because obviously they don't have play buttons for 1,000 subscribers or 10,000. So he got this for me from Etsy. And he's like, I knew you were going to hit it. So I got this. And I've been waiting to give it to you when you actually hit it. So kudos to him, because that was very sweet. But he presented me that. And then I ended up actually breaking 2,000 and 3,000 that night as well, because she has a massive Snapchat following. And I remember I was in a group with some people in a Facebook chat, and they're like, Shelly's so stunned, she's gone silent, she hasn't done anything. And in reality, what I was doing is I made a video, and as a thank you, I gave away a little box of beauty. And the stuff was stuff that I was already ordering in Ipsy and BoxyCharm and stuff like that. So I just took stuff that was new, because obviously I didn't have a ton of money to do it. So I was like, I'm going to pay for shipping. I'm going to give this to somebody. I'm going to send it out as a thank you. And I ended up at the end of that video, it's just me being really emotional. Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you for 1,000 subscribers. I don't even know if that video is still public. Oh my gosh. I don't know if that would be a fun video reacting to my 1,000 subscriber. But I was really excited about that, and I hit 1,000, and I rushed to make this video. And at the very end of it, I ended up singing an acoustic version of Edge of Glory by Lady Gaga. And I did that at the end of that video. And so when you say, I think you're on the edge of a breakthrough, that just brings back all of these memories that I had of that feeling where I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm on the edge. And so now, even 6 years later, when I'm I feel like I'm on the edge of figuring out what this YouTube channel really is, or figuring out what kind of content to make, or figuring out how to make money, or figuring out how to not feel like an imposter. Though what's funny even more so is I was on a group call today with some fellow lady creators, some of which have big channels, some of which have made 6 and 7 figures off of stuff from YouTube, whether that's group coaching, whether that's digital downloads, whether it's their own stuff as an agency, and all of us still being like, I can't figure this out. What am I supposed to do? And I only tell you this to say there's always questions at every level of YouTube success that you think you have achieved. So this person, you know, was contemplating, what do I do? Do I rebrand? Do I start a new channel? Do I restructure? I am confused. And this is someone who from the, you would think, oh, maybe they have it all figured out. They have, you know, 250,000 subscribers on their channel. You would think they have it figured out. And in reality, it's just a big question mark. And it's a big, like, I don't understand what's happening and what's going on with YouTube and what's happening with the audience and the shift. And it came back to, again, to this was, who are you trying to serve? What are you trying to sell? How does your content align with that? And it's so funny because it's one of the most basic questions that we can do when we are starting a YouTube channel. And here we are, you know, I don't know how many years she's in on this, let's say 5 or 6 years as well. And, you know, and then we're back to the same question of, what is the new audience that you want to attract? What is the package that you're going to offer them? How does your content align? So it never really changes from that, no matter how successful or big or anything that we get. And I'm reminded of an interview that Colin and Samir did with Mark Rober. And there are a lot of videos that he won't make because it doesn't align with his branding, the content that he wants to make, the audience he wants to reach. And I have not been as discerning, I'll say, when it comes to my channel, because I've made all the content and all the things. So I feel like sometimes I really have to come back to basics now with, who am I making content for? What do I want you to feel? How can I best, you know, be in service? How can we monetize it or make money together? And how does the content that I make align with that goal? So, yeah. Coincidence, I'm bidding on beauty equipment to resell. That's awesome. What kind of beauty equipment? And I'm mostly trying to enjoy the ride. And I think we should enjoy the ride, you know, because no one wants to be miserable the entire time. So Pixelpia says, my goal when I started was for me to learn making videos. I am still learning, so the initial goal is not reached yet. And that's the thing, is I don't know if we're ever done learning about how to make videos, because it's always about, how do we make better videos? How do we tell better stories? How do we, you know, whether you're editing for the algorithm and retention, or you're editing for story and time and structure, I feel like there's always stuff that we're learning, new techniques, new everything. And that's kind of what is exciting and also frustrating about the space, because as soon as you feel like you've maybe got the right format and you've got everything aligned, all of a sudden it changes, you know, or what the audience wants changes. Just fascinating, you know, and cyclical in time too. Sometimes they wanted certain types of content, and then all of a sudden that content was out of style. So I think it's all fascinating. And I really appreciate that y'all let me sit and ramble for an hour and 15 minutes about what a mess, let's say, the YouTube channel is, when the whole point was how to get clear on the type of content that you want to be making. And here I am. Here's the life lesson in this, I guess. We can tie it back to this. If you don't focus on the audience, if you don't focus on, you know, who you're trying to serve and how you want to show up for them and how you can monetize that, and you haven't figured that out in the niche, you will end up like Shelly. Don't be a Shelly. Be a better than Shelly. Right? Be a better than Shelly in the end. So I am not at the better yet. Have to learn more about audio first. Curling irons. Ooh, okay. Sometimes what we're good at is not what we love to do. Facts. Facts on facts. 100%. I cannot agree with that comment more. I can't. let me put that up on the screen. Sometimes what we're good at is not what we love to do. Exactly. And That's perfectly put. Because there are things that I'm good at. Like, I'm good at being a TPM and asking questions. It's not what I love to do. Yeah. That is 100% accurate. So, I'm going to go lay down, honestly, quite honestly. I'm going to go lay down because I have exhausted the amount of positions that I can do in this chair. I was told, though, usually you can't see it. I don't have arms on these chairs, but I was told that if my back was hurting too much, I could kind of push up on the arms at least and then relieve the tension on or the compression on my spine, and it would help a little bit. I don't think that's true. But anyways, I'm going to go lay down, honestly. Okay. Yeah. But I hope that my midnight ramblings for some of y'all in that time zone make you feel better about yourself. Is that right? Or just make you feel like it's okay to be confused, not have it all figured out yet. You're not alone in that aspect. If all you see online is perfection and others, you can always come to the hot mess that is my channel and feel better about yourself, because we are perfectly imperfect here on Shelly's channel and Shelly herself. Perfectly imperfect, all right? Take care of each other. Join the Discord if you have not yet. Put your ideas in the general chat for what you want the next emote to be, because I'd like to draw that in Procreate and get that working and submitted so that we can use that in our chat. If you want to be a channel member, that would be so much fun to have you vote. Or even if you're not a channel member, vote on it, and then you'll get FOMO and want to use that emote and then be like, that will be the thing that puts me over the edge to become a channel member. Tell me what that emote is so we can draw it and do that. Join the Discord. All right. Have a great night, everyone. And I will see you in a video next week. Bye.